Hello and welcome to the Watch Your Mouth podcast, a podcast about phrase etymology and why we say the things we say. I'm Milo.
And I'm Dave.
He's my dad.
And she is my daughter.
That's how that works. Welcome, everyone.
Hey, welcome to our podcast. We have some exciting news for you. Yes, you look excited, Milo.
I'm surprised already.
And you know the news. For the first time ever, and you probably already heard this before this actually, the podcast officially started, we can now say that we are brought to you by Silly Linguistics.
Bum-ba-da-bum.
Yeah, there is a gentleman on the Facebook, as old people say it, who runs a site called Steve the Vagabond and Silly Linguist, and recently he said, hey, if you've got a podcast that has to do with languages, please let me know. So he and I have been talking over the last couple weeks, and we've entered into a agreement where we are now going to say we are brought to you by Silly Linguistics, and he is going to promote us on his YouTube channel and I think a little bit on his Facebook page. Details still going to be worked out, but we are super pumped.
Because Look, Ma, we're famous.
It's a very popular Facebook page, and it's more than that, and he's really expanding what he's doing because he really loves languages.
Yeah, he's got a good sense of humor. He's got a good, you know, web presence, and we're excited to be affiliated.
Yes, he has over 500,000 followers, so we're hoping to get all of them, every single one. We want an audience of hundreds of thousands. And then we can do our live show the way you've always wanted, Milo. Your dream can come true.
Yeah, of course. That's always been my dream and not yours.
I like to project.
Sarcasm, anyway. Dear listener.
Sarcasm, if you couldn't tell. If you are a frequent listener, you already know that was sarcastic by the lovely Milo, who I tried to talk into having this be a video thing, and she's like, no, I'd be out at that point. And I'm like, okay, then, never mind.
Yep. So it's audio. Thanks to me that this is a podcast. So you're welcome, everyone. Yes.
Well, I originally wanted it to be like a something we put on YouTube, but as we're sitting in our respective closets, video, maybe that wouldn't be the best thing to do at this point. Anyway, onward and forward with today's episode. Milo, there'll be some questions for you. There might even be some quizzing for you during this episode. And I might even keep track of the points.
Oh, so, boy, kids, we don't normally actually have stakes.
I know. We don't have steaks. We have hot dogs. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. It's bad.
We're a budget podcast.
We're a budget podcast. We can't afford no steak yet. Give us a couple months, maybe. But I was thinking about keeping track of and just assigning random point values to different questions I ask you today and then adding it up. And then, listeners, you can play along at home and see if you can beat Milo today.
I thought that might be a fun thing to do. You and I are mortal enemies now, listener.
Oh, you always were. You just didn't know it. And now we've made it official. All right.
I have thrown down my gauntlet.
Yes. You know, we could look at that. That's a rather transparent idiom, though, I think.
It is. But there might be some fun history there. Get back into Arthurian legend.
Well, I do like the Arthurian legend. I've read a lot about King Arthur.
You have. That'd be a good one for you to do.
Yeah. But we are not talking about King Arthur today. We are talking about something else. Well, Milo, let me ask you a question. This isn't a quiz. This is more of an opinion. And I think I know the answer. You like to travel, right?
Yes. I would say less than a lot of people because I have social anxiety and just regular anxiety. So, like, I get scared. But no, it is a good thing.
Well, when you go on vacation, if you're going somewhere to have fun, you like to travel for those reasons, I think.
Sure.
With some anxiety. Okay, great. Well, anyway, that was took way too long just to say, because you're going to need to buckle up, pack a lunch, because we are going to go through some stuff today.
Okay.
We got places to go.
Oh, we're traveling within our own closets.
within our own closets.
Very Narnia.
In the theater of the mind. Mm. And this is not a wardrobe. They are closets because I don't have a wardrobe. Do you?
No, we're Americans, not English.
Yeah, well, anyway, so we are going to start with... the topic we're going to talk about today is one of the most common minerals in the entire world.
Oh.
And I'm going to... this may not be fair, listener, but I'm going to assign point value to this anyway. And if you hear papers rustling at all, it's because I'm actually literally writing this down and keeping track. Milo... can you guess what today's episode is revolving around? This very popular mineral that has to do with food.
Oh, salt, probably.
Salt is correct. I'm going to give you 3 points for that. If you did not guess salt, you get -1,000. I'm just kidding.
Oh, boy. Steaks are high.
They are. We're talking
hot
about
dogs
steak
are
again.
High.
Are you hungry? So my original idea for this episode was... the phrase to take things with a grain of salt. Milo, what is salt? What would the...
NaCl. Well, that's like table salt, but there's a lot of different kinds of salt.
There are, but I'm going to give you 5 points for that, for NaCl. And what is NaCl? What does that stand for?
Sodium chloride.
Sodium chloride, another 5 points. It's nice, nicely done, nicely done.
My primary partner is a chemist.
Do you ever use it? The phrase,
salt
in general.
Oh, I was going to say.
No, let me specify. Do you use the phrase? I assume you use salt.
Yes, I use both. I use both salt and I use that phrase.
Good. Well, actually, I have a question about, are you someone who likes their food somewhat salty or less salty, do you think?
I think I'm a salty person, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Like a sea dog.
Could you give us your best pirate, Milo?
Yar.
It was brief, but I like it. I'll take it.
I love one word impressions.
I'm going to give you 2 points for your pirate impression. Well, have you ever done this? Have you ever gotten food and salted it before tasting it?
No.
Because that apparently is kind of rude.
If it's like a cooked, okay. Well, if it's like just like normal mashed potatoes, like that you know isn't like pre-salted, like sure, salt that. Or like a baked potato, like you break open the baked potato, you salt that before tasting it. But like, yes, if someone like serves you a meal and you just like salt it, that does seem rude.
Yeah, but I'm going to push back a little bit on that because some people do like their food a bit bland. And if you kind of know, if you've had food from certain people that have cooked you a lot of times and you know right off the bat, it's not going to be your desired level of saltiness. I mean, that's kind of on them then. I think you can add the salt right away, don't you think?
Yeah, sure.
No, yeah. I'm going to give you -1 for your lack of enthusiasm.
Oh, no.
Just kidding. So we have a wide variety of different idioms and phrases we go into. This is not I wouldn't call this a transparent idiom, but mm-hmm. it's not that murky either. I think we kind of get the gist of what people are saying. And we kind of you probably already have a fairly decent idea of where this phrase comes from. Do you think?
I think so. Yeah. Like, I don't think it's the most transparent idiom, but like it tracks.
Let me ask you, where do you think this phrase, what would your guess be as to the origin of taking things with a grain of salt?
I don't know about origin necessarily, but like thought behind it, like why it came to be. I just think it makes sense that like, okay, this person's telling you something, you need to be a little bit, you know, it might need to be flavored up a bit or, you know, brought a little closer to truth or towards rightness. And so you just need to add a little something.
Yeah. 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 And for those of you who don't know, because this is a bit more of an English phrase, although they do use it in Great Britain as well, but they tend to say a pinch of salt more than a grain of salt.
Interesting.
Apparently. Yeah. So I want to go to our good friend Webster. For mm-hmm. the actual definition, and it says to view something specifically claims that may be misleading or unverified with skepticism or to not interpret something literally.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we, if you don't know, I'm sure most of you do, if not all of you do, that is the literal definition of the phrase. So question number one, this is for points.
Okay,
I'm going to give you some leeway.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give you some leeway. I'm going to give you a leeway of, well, I'll just make up the points as I go just because I want to. How much would you guess a grain of salt weighs in milligrams? How many milligrams is a single grain of salt?
Two. I don't know.
I know. It's 13. It's 13. Again, everyone knows it's 13.
We as we just mentioned, are American. Grams and stuff like that, not my preferred unit of measurements.
I never would have guessed that in a million years. I'm going to give you 4 points for that because I feel like it was difficult. And I love you because you're my child. So anyway, I'm not going to grade you on this one. I think I know the answer, but do you have people in your life where you regularly need to take things they tell you with a grain of salt?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
We are not going to name names.
No.
We're not going to do that. We're not into shaming in this podcast, Milo. You know that.
Uh-huh.
So no names named, but I do too. There are some people that they start talking and I'm like, where's the salt? I'm going to need more than a grain.
Yep. Just grab the shaker.
Yes. That's exactly right.
I have said that before about someone is like, I'm going to take this with a shaker of salt.
Wow. Did you say that to their face? That's what I want to know.
No, I don't believe that I did.
All right. Now, this next bit, we're going to get into another question with a point value.
I just have to say, this makes me very glad that I didn't continue to be homeschooled. Your system of quizzing.
By me? Yeah. Well, your mother homeschooled you. I really did none of it, although she asked me to. I was like, no, this is something you want to do. I'm doing none of it. And that's why you guys are also undereducated. I'm just kidding. If it would have been me, no. I'm just joking. She did a good job. All right. Are you familiar with a guy named Pliny the Elder?
Pliny the Elder. Yes, I am.
So you get 2 points for saying it correctly. I get -5 for saying it incorrectly. How do you say it? Pliny?
Pliny. Yeah. The story of how he died is fascinating.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that.
I will not jump ahead.
Can you tell me, you don't know his full name, his real full name, do you?
Once you say it, I'll know it.
Gaius Plinius. Gaius Plinius Secundus.
That's a good one.
That is, yes, and with most things, you do know it after you've been told.
Yeah.
I want to make sure the listeners caught that.
No, it was one of those things where, like, you know, like, I've heard it before, but I couldn't repeat it. But then you hear it and you go, oh, yeah.
Did that sound familiar?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So behind the curtain, I've listened extensively to the Sawbones podcast, which is about medical history. And that guy had a lot of medical opinions that were interesting to talk about.
We are going to take a detour for a second about Pliny and the people more than I'll call him Pliny, his close friends, he said could call him Pliny. Can you give me a year? This is the point question. I promise you there'd be one involved with Pliny. And here it is. Can you give me, just name a year that he was alive?
Oh, no.
Give me an idea of when he was alive.
During the Vesuvius times.
During the Vesuvius time, the very famous Vesuvius time, hinting, that's giving away a little bit of the spoiler for the end of the story, but
yeah,
just guess. Go ahead and don't guess. I'm going to give you some leeway.
I'm so bad at years.
Okay. So you get I can't give any points for this though, but
that's fine.
Gaius Plinius Secundus, or Pliny to his friends, lived from AD 23 or 24 and died in AD 79.
I feel a little bit happier now. I feel like I should have guessed because I knew it was right around the term of BC to AD, but I couldn't remember which side it fell on, like directly around that time. So I was prepared to be embarrassed.
I felt like you would have gotten close. In fact, I was very confident you would. You're just selling yourself. I'm sorry, I'm putting you on the spot.
We can record it again, and I can sound really smart.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Milo.
Was it 23 AD?
It was. How did you know that? My goodness.
You know, I was so there for smart. His birth.
Wow. The time travel device, or are you immortal?
I'm just very old.
Oh, I did not know that. I'm older than you. I don't understand how that works at all. because I don't remember that. So for those of you who don't know about Pliny, he, as Milo was saying, he was a Roman, he's a Roman guy. He was an author, a naturalist, philosopher, and also a naval and army commander in the early Roman Empire. And a friend of the emperor at the time, Vespasian. Did I say that right? Vespasian?
I think so. Right. Yeah. Okay. Also, question. I feel like everyone back then was a naturalist because there weren't a lot of other options.
Well, I'm just telling you, this is what Wikipedia said. I don't know what to tell you. He wrote the, and I may say this wrong, and I apologize if I do, but Naturalis Historia, which was basically the very first encyclopedia. It became an editorial model for encyclopedias. He spent most of his spare time studying, writing, and investigating natural and geographic phenomena in the field. Apparently, Mr. Pliny attempted to document all known facts about the natural world. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what he was going for.
And he did a bad job.
The confidence mm-hmm. to have, I'm going to record every natural fact, kind of tells you something about our friend Pliny. He claimed to have recorded 20,000 pieces of information, but modern scholars say he underestimated his own output.
Really? Interesting.
So, Milo, you alluded to this a minute ago, and I mm-hmm. do want to talk about how our friend Pliny died.
Yes.
Because at first, I didn't know. And so I was like, okay, it's kind of weird. We don't know his date of birth. Not that weird, a long time ago. But they seem real positive about when he died.
Exactly. It's almost as if a lot of other people died that same day, making it a notable occasion.
So he, do you know how he died? How did he die?
He died in the explosion of Mount Vesuvius.
That's right. Was he there when the explosion started, when the eruption started?
Well, yes and no, because he was like across the water, right? And he like boated to try to go save people.
Do you know who he was trying to save?
Was it his nephew?
No. Good guess, though. It was a senator who was named Pomponianus.
Oh, what a good name.
Say it with me. Pomponianus.
Yeah, come on, audience. Good.
We almost named you that. It was between that and a couple other things, and we decided not to go with Pomponian.
Pretty mad you changed your mind on that one.
I apologize. So anyway, he was contacted. He was not in, I don't know how to say this, Stabiae, which is part of Pompeii. He was not there, and he received word from his friend Pomponianus that there had been an eruption and needed to be rescued. So as Pliny's vessel approached the shore, this is a great name, Herculaneum.
Ooh. Wow,
Herculaneum.
That sounds medical.
It does, and it sounds like a strong city, but not strong enough for Vesuvius. As he was approaching the shore, cinders and pumice began to fall on the ship. The helmsman advised turning back, to which Pliny replied, "Fortune favors the bold. Steer to where Pomponianus is." And then he lands, and then the wind caused by the sixth and largest pyroclastic surge of the eruption did not allow his ship to leave port, and Pliny died, probably from asphyxiation.
Yep.
He was a large man. And apparently he may have had asthma. And when people went back to see if they could rescue Pliny, they found him dead with no damage to his body.
Really?
Yeah. So it's kind of
interesting.
Cool.
Did the senator survive? Probably not, right? Because the boat couldn't leave.
No, I think they couldn't leave. And I don't totally understand all the what was happening in the geography, but their only way out was by boat. And the boat, they didn't have, they didn't have a motorboat, clearly. So they couldn't sail out, and they were done. And obviously the air became very toxic, and that killed, that's what killed a whole bunch of people. So
it sure did.
Back to Pliny and his work, Naturalis Historia, which was written, apparently in 77 AD, just a couple of years before he died. Okay. So this is a quote from it. After the defeat of that mighty monarch, Mithridates, I bet that's it. Mithridates? Anyway. Mithridates? Do we think that's what it is?
I feel like I've heard that word before.
Mithridates and our Latin friends.
I might be thinking of something else.
Our Latin friends are losing their minds. They're the people who speak Latin or know it well. So we're screwing it up. I'm sorry.
Sorry, y'all.
So after the defeat of that mighty monarch, Mithridates, whatever, Gnaeus Pompeius found in his private cabinet a recipe for an antidote in his own handwriting. It was to the following effect. Take 2 dried walnuts, 2 figs, and 20 leaves of rue, pound them all together with the addition of a grain of salt. If a person takes this mixture fasting, he will be proof against all poisons for that day.
Wow.
So plenty.
Bold. And you would think very easily testable.
Yep. He did some work that, you know, really had an impact on people. Not so great at preventing poisoning.
Nope.
Don't think you should be taking his advice. Also, very random note, I did find in my extensive, again, exhaustive, some may say, research that I do about Pliny the Elder, it's also the name of an IPA.
Yeah.
Which I did not know because I don't drink beer at all. But there.
Mm-hmm. Beer is gross.
What's it?
Beer is gross.
Beer is gross. For our beer drinking friends, we apologize. We just don't care.
Sorry, it's nasty.
And then in 1647, in the English religion commentator John Trapp, who had a commentary on the Old and New Testaments, he says specifically, this is to be taken with a grain of salt.
Hmm.
So I really was surprised at how old this saying is.
That is about as old as it gets.
It's the beginning of recorded history. So again, as I said, in the UK, they like to say a pinch of salt. And, you know, they're a little bit more generous with their salt usage in their idioms, which kind of makes sense. We are now to another point question.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Are you going to bail on this one or are you going to answer this one?
Can't promise ahead of time.
Okay. This is a hard, they're all hard questions. If we were somehow able to weigh all the salt on the earth, do you know how much it would weigh?
Jesus.
You're going to have to just pick a big
ass number.
As much
as Jesus. Yeah. I'm going to say a million tons.
38.5 quadrillion tons of salt in the oceans.
I undershot it a little bit.
Just a little.
Just a little bit.
Wait for that for your incredible.
That's very generous.
Underselling. Yeah. But I did want to look a little bit of the medical effects of salt, too. And then we're going to get into another phrase here in a second. But some salt facts. And
salt
I know a lot
facts.
Of people today.
Ooh.
What's the promo for this part of the show?
What's
Do that again. You just did a song. Do it again.
Salt facts. Woo. It's just the DuckTales song, but.
I know. It's okay.
Salt
it's
facts.
Fine. I want to do it again. So I know there's a lot of people out there. They were thinking, you know, today. Just they kind of woke up and they said, you know, I don't know much about salt. I'm hoping to learn more. And this podcast is like a prayer answered from the heavens.
It is every day.
That's what we frequently are, Milo, aren't we? We are a prayer, an answer to prayer. Anyway, more salt facts because I love you guys. Too much sodium in the diet can lead to high blood pressure, heart disease, and stroke. And I did not know this. I knew that first part. It can also cause calcium loss. Because it can I guess too much salt will pull calcium from your bones.
Wild.
Osteoporosis, yo. Brittle bones.
That has never been said before in the history of mankind. Osteoporosis, bro.
I said yo, but bro's even better.
Oh, yo,
better.
Yeah.
It's fine. They both,
bro,
they both fit.
Osteoporosis.
You got osteoporosis, bro? Me too, man. It sucks. Too much salt.
Oh my God. We won't be able to ride our skateboards.
Wow. That was eloquent. Very nicely done.
Thanks.
Okay, another point, more points. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
How much salt do you think the average American consumes per day in tablespoons?
Per day, okay.
Don't go crazy. Don't go crazy, okay?
5.
I mean, it's
1.5. Is that considered going crazy?
You know what? I'm so sorry. It's 1.5 teaspoons of salt per day.
Oh, well,
teaspoons,
okay,
my bad,
I'm very,
my
very,
bad.
Very off, but you also started me with the wrong metric. So
that's true.
Half a
that's
tablespoon
true,
is right, a well, teaspoon and a half.
And I had to find this out because this is just how my brain works. I thought, well, how much salt would one have to consume at once to be fatal?
Oh, that's a great question.
I thought, thank you. You would need to eat a huge amount of salt, but as I looked at it, it's not that much, but I don't think you could literally do this at once. I don't think it'd be possible. You would have to eat approximately half to 1 gram of salt per kilogram of your body weight.
Okay, you're throwing a lot of metric at me again.
I know, I don't mean to. Let me put it this way. If you weighed 154 pounds, I don't know why did, or 70 kilograms, you would have to consume 35 to 70 grams of salt to experience fatal levels.
That is a lot of salt, but not like, you know.
You have that much at home.
Yeah, definitely.
There have actually been times, and I saw this, and I didn't want to get too much into it because it's sad, but there a couple children have died because of overdosing on salt.
I didn't look at the details.
I didn't ask. I didn't want to know because it just, again, children dying. I'm like, I'm not going to dig too deep into that.
Yeah, no. I was going to ask what it's like what the overdose of salt would actually like do to you. But now that it's in the context of children, I don't know if I want to ask that.
You would pee yourself to death. I don't know.
I don't think that's true.
You'd be thirsty. I don't. You're the
yeah, maybe it's like a dehydration death. I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, we may maybe after the episode's
that's
done.
That's your
if we really
homework,
know,
listeners.
There you go. Get back to us. Okay, we're going to go to another phrase here. All right, it's actually more of a superstition that I got thinking about salt, and I thought there's actually a bunch of stuff associated with this, and I want to dive into a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar? Don't dive into the salt; you'll die. You'll come out a mummy.
That would be well preserved, though. There is there's a few different old superstitious practices involving salt. Are you familiar with any of them?
I think I can think of two off the top of my head.
What have you got?
So spilling salt, you have to throw a pinch over your shoulder.
Yep.
And then like circle of salt to keep out ghosties and stuff.
Perfect. Those are the two places I was going with this. Those are the two places. That's extra 10 points for guessing where I was
going. Yeah.
Writing that down. Okay, the one I'm going to do now is talking about throwing salt over your shoulder, and then that definitely leads into the whole idea of why is salt supposed to be anathema to demons? Why are demons repelled by salt or ghosts? So, salt obviously, clearly has been used since, obviously, as far back as we can tell, people have been found salt using salt. Very valuable commodity in ancient times. Was very, people would, in some places it was hard to come by. So salt in some places was very valuable. And it was also used metaphorically. It was seen as a symbol of trust and friendship. And again, this is cross-cultural.
Okay.
A German proverb says that whoever spills salt arouses enmity. And the spilling of salt is seen as a bad omen.
Yes.
You spill salt, you're ruining it. You kind of mentioned that. You spill salt, you take some and you throw it over your shoulder. Which shoulder? Do you know?
Left shoulder.
Left shoulder. That's an extra 5 points for you. Good job. Remember, kids, you can play along at home. So salt was kind of, it was very important. They didn't have Netflix back then or other than Pliny's encyclopedia.
They didn't have Angelina Jolie's Salt on Netflix.
I was not going to mention that movie because we kind of disagree on it. You hated it.
I thought it was
pretty good. I know, sorry. I like Angelina. She's pretty good. And if you're listening, Angelina, I think you got some good acting chops. I think you're going to make it in this business. Anyway, so salt is... It was considered a symbol of friendship because of its lasting quality, and it makes substances more compact and preserves them. So that can be applied, obviously, to a lot of different things, as we all like to use metaphors a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard that Roman soldiers received part of their salary in salt?
I have heard that, yes.
Now, this is, I read an article by this guy who says that is not true. There's no historical fact. They said you can't find anything that says that's true. It's been something that's been repeated in the internet many, many times, so people believe it's true. I have other places where like, yeah, this is true. This is what happened. So I don't have any idea. What I do know that the word salary is basically means salt money.
I did not know that. But that makes sense, because sal being cell being salt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which I thought that was super interesting. I'm like, oh, wow, salary comes from the idea, at least, I mean, that makes me think it did happen. But salary basically means salt money.
Interesting. I would have thought, like, it would have to do with ribbed vegetables.
What?
Celery.
Oh, my gosh. What is wrong with you? Sorry, listeners.
He says that as if he's not the one responsible for my sense of humor.
It's true. It's true. But at some point, you're responsible for your own actions and decisions. And that's a negative 13 points to you for a very bad pun. I got to thinking, Milo is like, okay, but why? I get why we take, you know, we say the phrase, take things with a grain of salt, but, like, why are we throwing salt over our shoulders? What does that have to do with anything? That must have originated in something. And then I found, and I'm just going to give, this is probably my favorite thing I found out in the episode, in my research, is it has been explained that this all, salt, spilling salt being unlucky, which, because it was valuable, we can see where that there's a very logical reason. Then there's actually a religious reason, potentially, why salt is considered dangerous to demons, to repel demons, and why it's unlucky to spill it. You are familiar, of course, with this painting called The Last Supper.
I do.
Who painted it?
No idea.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Really?
Yeah, Da Vinci painted Da Vinci's Last Supper. And you're familiar with this. You're familiar with this painting, right?
Of course. Yeah.
And that's where the book, The Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
Was
I imagine
all about,
it's the most parodied painting of all time, if I had to guess.
I don't want to go too far off topic on this, but the whole idea of Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code unlocking some secret history because Da Vinci had inside knowledge of the Last Supper is just so. It's very, very, very silly, which is fine. It's a work of fiction, but I know Christians were in an uproar because they thought it was going to destroy people's faith.
Yep.
You do know that Da Vinci was not around for the Last Supper.
I do know that, yes.
hundreds of years later, there were no cameras, as far as we know. There were no cameras. There were no pictures.
Jesus cam.
Yeah, they didn't even sit that way at the table. And they all sat on the same side of the table. So
yeah, that would be an inefficient seating arrangement.
It's not history. So what does the Last Supper, the painting of the Last Supper, have to do with salt and salt, the spilling of salt being considered to be a bad omen? Do you have any idea how those two are connected? Because I didn't until I saw this.
I am guessing there is some sort of ancient salt shaker in the picture, and maybe it's held by one of the bad disciples.
Who is the worst disciple?
It depends on who you ask. Is doubting more of a sin, or is denying Jesus more of a sin?
Well, who betrayed Jesus? Judas.
I know it was Judas. Do you know who doubted Jesus?
Thomas.
Good job.
Do you know who denied Jesus?
I mean, also Judas, right?
Well, Peter.
Oh,
and
yes.
The night he was crucified. Anyway, thank you. A little Bible study there, a little Bible, a little Sunday school lesson.
Bible
there.
Bowl.
You are kind of right. If you look closely in the picture, Judas has knocked over a bowl of salt with his elbow.
I'm impressed with myself.
If you look at the picture and you look to the left of Jesus, which would be to the right of Jesus as he's in the picture, if you look to the left of Jesus and look at Judas, there's a small bowl of salt that has been knocked over.
Okay. Interesting.
And our friend Leo knew what he was doing, and so, but that doesn't totally answer. It's a really cool detail, but clearly that was something that was already believed, otherwise Da Vinci would not have put that into his painting.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, maybe he just wanted to show that Judas was like a klutz and was a dummy.
Not only does he betray the Messiah, he was clumsy. Which is the worst sin? You be the judge. We don't know. Anyway, so Da Vinci is kind of, you know, following up on this whole idea of it's a bad omen, and, like, again, depending on who you ask, Judas being one of the, in some people's opinion, the worst people who ever lived, knocking over salt.
He,
like, look, see this guy.
He is being chewed on in hell by Satan, according to Dante.
I wonder what he tastes like. I mean, that can't taste good. He's been doing it a long time.
It's Cassius, Brutus, and Judas in the mouth. And
are they chew toys? I mean, what are,
no,
they,
just,
are they made
just,
of calamari?
Just Judas is, apparently, because he's the one getting noshed on for all of eternity.
Oh, that's gotta suck. Unless the devil doesn't have teeth and it's just he's gumming him to death. We don't know. Sorry, it's not in my notes at all. So why... Okay, so we have an idea. The value of salt, spilling salt's a bad idea. Why throw it over our left shoulder? I'm going to tell you. Because some Christian beliefs hold that the devil hangs around behind us, waiting to tempt us. And as we talked about in my last episode, the whole idea of right or left, what is your evil side, right or left?
I mean, left, it's a sinister side.
Yes. So you throw salt over your left shoulder because it hits the devil in the eyes and blinds him.
And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Sit on attack.
Hey.
Sit on attack.
You can sit along at home if you want. But no, that's what I found. You throw it over the left shoulder because that hits him in the eyes and it blinds him, and then he's not going to be able to tempt you to do bad things.
You're sandblasting the enemy.
Sandblasting him with salt. And other things I saw, that it's the purity of salt. Salt's, for whatever reason, salt's very pure. And it's actually used in some Catholicism. I was surprised to learn that, because I'm not Catholic and I don't know a ton about Catholics, is that, you know, they have holy water. They also have blessed salt. Which a priest
has to
bless
salt. So the ocean is just very holy. This has always been my thing. Okay, so apologies to Catholic listeners. I do not know if this is blasphemous, and if it is, I apologize. But I have heard that holy water, like if water is blessed, you can put it into another container of a larger body of water. Like if you got like a cup of water that was blessed, you could pour it into a gallon of water, and then that gallon of water would all be blessed. Like it just expands outward with whatever water it touches. So does it follow that you could dump that gallon of water into the ocean and have the whole ocean be holy water? Is that how that works? I don't know. Holy water is a fascinating concept. I'm not Catholic.
No, I'm not either. And it kind of, what are the parameters here? How far does this extend? I don't know.
That's my curiosity.
I don't think it's blasphemous. I think it's an honest question. Now, do you know the very first literary reference to salt that we're able to tell is from the book of Job? And Job, which you may know, is actually the oldest book, the first written book of the Bible.
Okay.
Did you know that?
I did not.
Can you guess? Here it is. Points time. Can you guess as to when they think the book of Job
I hate it.
I'll give you a hint. It's BC.
It was in the BC. Yep, I got that part.
Yeah, how far BC? Just throw a number out. It's okay. I won't mock you.
500 BC.
4 BC.
I don't know. I'm so bad at years.
It's all right. It's about 400 years before the birth of Christ. So
sure.
Well, no, it's about, I think, 400 BC. 400, not 4. My bad.
Yeah, okay.
About 400 BC.
Okay, so I was in the neighborhood.
You
made me feel
BC.
Bad about that.
I did. Sorry. Clearly, Job was 104 years before Christ was born.
That's why I was like, wow, that's a lot of Bible to fit into 4 years.
They did. They're
cranking.
The whole
Old Testament.
That's right. No, it's like, you know, just ignore that whole thing. Actually, BC, AD, we don't know what's happening.
We are worse people. We should not be allowed to deal with numbers ever.
We've had too much salt. That's my excuse.
Sure.
Okay. I'm just going to blast through the last couple things and we'll finish this.
Free us from our number prison.
Oh my gosh. So in the middle of the last millennium, Europe, salt was believed to provide defense against witches, witchcraft, demons, sprites, and the ever forbidden evil eye.
I really thought you were going to say the everlasting gobstopper. Go on.
That too. It was a common belief that witches and the animals they bewitched could not eat anything salted.
Oh,
kind
that
of
sucks
sassy.
For them. Yeah.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
That's the only compelling argument against witchcraft I've ever heard.
Besides the possibility of being burned at a stake, that's not a detrimental.
No more
thing.
Potato chips. That's the real problem.
You're like, I was going to be a witch. I don't know. I can't know.
Mm-hmm.
Inquisitors were advised by demonologists to protect themselves by wearing an amulet of salt, consecrated on Palm Sunday, along with other blessed herbs, great, pressed into a disc of blessed wax.
Oh.
I just wonder how this stuff kind of comes about.
Right.
Carrying a concealed packet of salt was said to ward off the evil eye and the evil gobstopper. Another known talisman to ward off evil spirits was a jar of salt and a knife. I feel like the knife would be better, but I don't know. And apparently, there are some cultures still that we would call superstitious. And apparently, in some cultures, people put salt and pepper in their left boot for good fortune.
Oh, they're just seasoning their feet right up. A little treat for later.
What? For who? Who is that a treat for? What are you
they're
thinking?
They're freaky friends.
Okay, it's Sir Parker, my puppy who loves to lick feet.
There you go. Yep, you're freaky puppy.
Yeah. And I think there's a band named Freaky Puppy. Anyway, sorry. To ward off an evil witch, I like this. To ward off an evil witch, not like Glenda the Good Witch, but an evil witch, a peasant might throw salt outside the front door and lean a broom next to it. Because then, you know what happens if a witch passes by? Do you know what they have to do?
Oh, is it like the Satan thing where he has to count all the grains?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's also a thing that they would say about Satan or vampires. That's also a vampire thing. Like if you spill sand or salt, they have to count every grain before they can move on.
And that's where Sesame Street got the count.
Was it?
That's not true. No, I don't think so.
I believed you for a second. I was like, maybe.
I sold it. I sounded very confident. So yeah, they would have to count, the witches would have to count the grains of salt and the blades of straw on the broom before they could do any harm. And at that point, you could maybe kill them, you know, put some holy water or some salt
run
on
run away, something.
Random fact. Before sumo wrestlers come into their match, walk into their ring, whatever, they throw salt in the air. To help dispel evil spirits. So again, this is not just, this is throughout time and throughout cultures, which is why I'm glad you brought your lunch, because we've been on a trip. And we're going to finish in China. You ready? I'm going to finish this off with some Chinese folklore, which I'm going to read to you.
Great.
Okay. Chinese folklore credits the phoenix with the discovery of salt. One day a peasant saw a phoenix rise from the ground. He knew there must be a treasure on the earth where the phoenix had risen into the air. He worked the soil for many hours but could find no wealth, only soil. Still, he knew it must have value, so he took the soil to the emperor and gifted him his treasure. The emperor said it was nothing but earth and put him to death for his impudence.
Oh, no.
Later, a piece of this earth fell into a bowl of soup for the emperor. On tasting it and discovering that the source of this new wonderful taste was the dead peasant's soil, he felt great shame. He called for the dead man's wife and son and gifted them control of the lands where salt occurred. And the peasant's family became rich and prosperous.
Even though their dad died.
Hey, so sorry about murdering your dad. How about some land? Huh? We good?
Yeah, no, there you go.
How much land would you need if someone murdered me to feel... There's no right way to answer this question. What's that?
Just to feel chilled, to be like, oh, okay, now we're fine.
Yeah, okay, we're good.
Yeah.
How much land? No, I'm like, I don't know. Like
gonna count it in meters.
That's great. Awesome. Okay, that's my salt episode.
Yay!
What did you think?
I hope you aren't feeling salty about it, listeners.
Yeah, we do. Salt is usually not good, though.
No, yeah, salty is like, you know, you're feeling crabby about something.
We hope you feel crabby about this episode, and we hope you have swelling in strange places.
No, that's the thing. I hope you don't. Yeah,
oh, don't
maintain your swelling and stay hydrated, but not so hydrated that you're peeing every 5 minutes.
Well, you know, right.
Get your prostate exams, all that stuff. Anyway.
Okay, great. All right, now we're going to public service PSA here. What stood out
to
you, Milo?
Well, you're Dr. David, so here we are. No, so
yeah, sure.
We went so far and so wide across time in memoriam here today.
I
always like visiting Pliny the Elder.
Pliny,
it's
for
a
his
good
friends.
Story. He died died a hero. You know, not a successful hero, but he tried. It's nice.
Well, yeah, that's it.
So I like that story. I do like the story of the phoenix from the end. And I like that I was right about Job.
Yes, you, you were.
What did you like?
The Judas spilling the salt, I thought was really interesting because I've seen that picture,
yeah,
the painting. I've not literally seen it, but I've seen the Mona Lisa, but not the Last Supper. And I mean, I've seen that depicted and made fun of and, you know, whatever, copied so many times. I had no idea that Judas had spilled over a bowl of salt. And that was mm-hmm. very intentional. And the whole idea of that salary comes, it basically means salt money. I thought that yeah. was very cool. That was interesting.
Yay, we learned today.
We like to learn.
We sure do. And we hope that you like to learn with us. And we appreciate you going on this journey with us every time we release an episode. So thank you for being here. We appreciate it. If you would like to be extra appreciative of what we do here, you can review us on your listening platform of choice. We would love that. Or on iTunes. You can follow us on our Facebook group where you can find pictures, updates, schedule, all that stuff. And check out Silly Linguist Facebook page as well. Steve the Vagabond Silly Linguist. Thank you to Tony Gebhardt for our theme song. You can find him on Spotify and other music-y places. But thank you all for tuning in. We will talk to you next time. But in the meantime, I'm Milo.
And I'm Dave.
Stay curious and carry a hatchet.